May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 957. 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? Hymn 957.
This evening I wish to read from the book of Psalms, two Psalms, Psalm 31 and Psalm 33. If you have one of the free Bibles from outside the chapel, that's page 560. Psalm 31 and Psalm 33. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. For thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skilfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth for ever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come before thy throne as thou hast bid us, to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thou hast said that we are to ask in thy dear name. If ye ask anything in my name, I will give it you. Do grant then, Lord, that as we come in thine earthly courts this evening, that thou hast granted us a true spirit of worship, that we might glorify thy name and worship thee and hope in thee, that our expectation might be from thee. O Lord, do command thy blessing here in Swayze Chapel this evening, and do grant, Lord, thy blessing upon souls, upon the hearts of those whom thou hast formed, and that thou hast granted unto us to know that thou art the God that dost fashion thy people to thine honour and to thy glory. Lord, we have read that thy blessing be upon us according as we hope in thee. And Lord, our hope is in thee. To whom else can we go? Where else can our hope be? But do grant, Lord, that thou hast raised each poor sinner here this evening to a good hope through grace, a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, a hope in thy mercy, a hope in thy work, a hope in what thou hast done. Lord, help us this evening to look out of self and unto thee. Lift up poor souls from off the dunghill. Deliver those who are inward looking to outward looking, and those, O Lord, that are so bowed down by what they see and feel within, do grant that grace and help to look unto thee, unto thy forming hands, unto thy work, unto thy crown. O Lord, do help us in this, that we might come unto thee, believing that thou art, and that thou art able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lord, we do pray that thou hast look upon those still yet in nature's darkness, those who are dead in sin, who have no spiritual life, and yet, Lord, are thy dead elect. We pray, Lord, thy quickening work. We pray the time of deliverance might come, that thou dost pass by them and bid them live, and that there might be that vital change wrought in their heart and in their lives that answers to the new birth, a conversion, regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. O Lord, do look upon those who as yet have had no concern whether or not that change has taken place in their hearts, and do put a concern there, and turn that into prayer and make it fruitful, and cause, Lord, that there might be a beginning. For thou hast said that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We pray then for real beginnings, Lord, in this our day, our dark day, our day when we hear so few being wrought upon. We pray for it, the quickening work of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, not only do we pray for this at the beginning, but that thou hast remember those whom thou hast awakened, those who are seeking thee. O Lord, do remember them who no doubt often have times of being cast down, discouraged. Lord, those who may have waited many years, those who are seeking thee, and yet, O Lord, as yet are not satisfied and have not found thee. Lord, do remember thy precious promise, that they that seek shall find. And Lord, do thou be pleased to fulfill that, stir up those again, renew them again. Lord, do cause again, that there might be that fresh urgency in prayer, in coming to thy house, in waiting upon thy word, in looking for a blessing through the ministry, in walking with the brethren, and in that separation from the world that is but vanity and vexation of spirit. Remember those who have maybe been proving for a long while that all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Lord, do thou be pleased also to remember thy dear people, those who have made profession, those who have walked many years, it may be, in that profession, and Lord, yet discouraged, disheartened, far off, much beset by sin and Satan and the world. O Lord, do send that reviving cordials for such souls. Strengthen the hearts of thy people. Encourage them in the Lord their God. Lord, make us to be like David, even at Ziklag, with the city burned with fire and loved ones taken, yet he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And Lord, do cause that as we gather in thy courts, that those who know thy name might be reminded again what thy name stands for and what thy work is and has been and will be. O Lord, do grant that we might not lose sight of the great God, the gracious God, the merciful God, the kind God, the God of the whole heavens and the earth, our God who is the God of salvation, and to be pleased to come and heal us, revive us, and help us again. Remember those of us who think back to former days and think back when we were so tender in thy fear, a tender conscience, a teachable spirit, real hatred of sin, a fleeing from it, and actively pursuing the things of righteousness and fleeing from the things of evil. And Lord, where we have grown more carnal, worldly, dead, and our conscience is dulled, our heart is hard, Lord, do grant the softening warmth of grace, and again bring us into a position of life. O let our souls live. Lord, didst thou not give that as the blessing at first? I give unto them eternal life. O do grant that that life might be abundantly evident. And Lord, where we have tried foolishly to serve God and mammon, to have our foot part in the world and part with thee, and thou hast forbidden it, thou hast not allowed it, thou hast not allowed that profession to be of any worth or good, Lord, do cause that we might see that we might be delivered from that partial following, an almost Christian. Lord, may it be that we are clearly on thy side. Grant us Joshua's resolution. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not just one or two services on thy day and in the week, but every day of the week and every hour, with the whole heart, not part of it. Lord, do make us real Christians, washed in the Redeemer's precious blood. O Lord, do make us to be an exception to the deadness that is around on every side, and make this church to be an exception, and this congregation do command thy blessing. Bless their dear deacons, answer their prayers, fulfill their desires, bless the word this evening, and grant, Lord, that this people might be known as the people of the Lord, and those who delight to walk in thy ways and serve thee every day. O Lord, we do commit them unto thee, those that are here this evening, those visiting this evening, and Lord, those that are not here, there's many that we miss here, Lord, do be with them. The one in Bethesda, we commit her unto thee, and others perhaps on holiday, and we pray that thou'st watch over and be with each one. Those that have returned from on holiday, do be pleased to be with them, bless them this evening. O Lord, be pleased to grant that each might have that portion for their soul. Those that join with us online, do bless the word to them. And Lord, do be with the little ones, Lord, in the evening. We thank thee for the children and young people here. Be mindful of many that are not. We lovingly bring them before thee and their mothers or fathers at home with them, and do grant that they might part alike and be refreshed and favoured in their souls there. We pray for those round about the candlestick here, and do bless those who have received Bibles through the free offer and the front of the chapel. And Lord, that thou hast work in this town, and that there might be many that are brought to know the Saviour, be truly converted, and that the friends here might see them come. We pray in our day that there might be a real reviving, a spiritual reviving, that we might see it in our churches. We do thank thee where one generation raises up to tell it to another. We thank thee for those that follow on here. But Lord, we do pray that there might be that new blood. There might not be just transferring from one church to another to build up churches, but that it might be those that are brought in from the surrounding area and those that are plucked as brands from the burning, or those who have been prayed over, watched over, brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and yet have turned away from these things, to bring them back again, not just to darken the door, but to truly be converted. Do grant, Lord, that those who are joined in church fellowship might be useful, active members of the church throughout the week, that thou hast grant, Lord, that they might be fruitful in serving thee in their day and generation, in whatever task may be given them, and whatever they may have skills, ability to do. O Lord, we do seek of thee those blessings of thankfulness, godliness with contentment, which is great gain. We thank thee for every good and perfect gift, for temporal mercies, thou art good to all. Thy tender mercies are over all thy works. And we thank thee for thy word, the freedom of gathering together in thy name. But Lord, we do acknowledge, Lord, thy judgment upon this nation, that those with medical training utter things that they never should. Those that teach the young are uttering things that they know, they surely must know, of foolishness and untruths, and teaching their children such. And, O Lord, we live in a time when common sense even has gone out the window. Lord, truly we live in a time of thy judgment, for thou hast said, as they like not to retain God in their knowledge, so he gave them up. O Lord, do give us not up completely as a nation, but do turn us again unto thee. We would seek that the root of the matter might be dealt with, and there might be a real turning again with real conversions, real religion. Lord, thou hast said that judgment shall begin at the church of God. And if it begin at us, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And, O Lord, we would tremble when we read those words. But we do know that so much of the evils of this nation come from us, come from our churches, come from our lack of witness, come from our ungodliness, our example, our ways. We confess our many, many sins and many iniquities. Do cause, Lord, that we might truly be salt and light, and help us, make us faithful, useful, and to truly be thy servants, to be said at the last, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But, O Lord, we do pray for all in authority over us, and that we might have lengthened out thy mercies and freedoms. And Lord, do cause that we might be blessed in these times. And do remember those of other nations that do not have these blessings, that have great trials, tribulations, and troubles. O Lord, do be with them and do help them. We seek now to be revived and strengthened, encouraged in this midweek service, that thou speak to us through thy word. Grant us the help of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thou hast died. Thy precious blood has been shed. Thou hast purchased the blessings for the church of God. O do grant us those blessings that thou hast purchased for us to have. And O Lord, do be pleased to take not thy Spirit from us, but do grant that sweet savour of Christ that only thy Spirit can give, and that entrance of thy word that giveth life, that only thy Spirit can give, for it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And Lord, we pray that the word might come, not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Lord, do guide us, do direct us, help in speaking and in hearing. We ask this thy blessing with the forgiveness and pardon of our many, many sins. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In number
413. 413. Let Zion songs of triumph sing. Let gladness crown the day. Jehovah is her God and King. He hates to put away. Hymn 413.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 33 and verse 15. Psalm 33 and verse 15. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Psalm 33 and verse 15. The emphasis in this verse is He. It is the Lord. The Lord who fashions hearts. The Lord who considereth works. And my desire this evening is to especially be to those who feel very much the sinfulness of their heart, maybe looking much inward and seeing much to discourage there, to be directed outwardly, to be directed to the Lord, who is the fashioner of hearts and who brings forth from those hearts works to his honour and glory. No one will ever be delivered from an evil heart by their own endeavours and looking into it or trying to make it better themselves. Deliverance will be found in Christ alone, and he who first formed the heart and who forms it new in his people. And that's where, by the grace of God, I desire to point you this evening. Now may we be reminded first of what an important thing the heart is. And when we're saying about the heart, we're not, of course, speaking of the organ that pumps the blood around our bodies. Although that's a good example, because you get something wrong with the heart, it affects the whole body. The blood that goes around our bodies, that is what is keeping every single organ, everything all working together rightly, and it must have each organ must have access to that blood and what it's carrying to actually work properly. And so in a spiritual sense, if the heart is right, then that will affect that whole being, and whatever the heart is. And our Lord spoke of that, we have it recorded in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So is that which governs all that we think and say and do. You know, over in Australia we had a bird, there's a bird called the lyrebird, and it is an imitator. And if you were going near the bush where it is, you might hear a dog barking, but there's no dog there. There's a lyrebird, and it's imitating it perfectly. You can hear a police siren, you think there's a police car there, but it's not. It's the bird. Or a chainsaw, or it'll hear someone taking a photograph with a camera, and it's got a self-drive thing on it, and it does the click and the self-drive whir on it, and it can imitate so exact, but when you see it, that's not what it is. Just because it barks doesn't make it a dog. And yet when the nature is fully like with a dog, then everything else flows forth from it, because that is what it is. Everything it does, the way it eats, the way it wags its tail, all how it acts is acting as to what it really is at heart. And that's what we do as well. What we are actually, we really are. We can imitate the Lord's people. We can imitate what they say and what they do and go where they go and act like they act, but not be the Lord's people. But where the heart is right, and very often it is the situations we're brought into, that's why we're told the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is the heart really right? You put it into a situation where it will discover what that heart really is. When we think of what is set forth in the way of salvation in Romans 10, we are told that with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the whole root, the whole beginning is in the heart. And that is where in our text it joins heart and works. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. The two go together. The works flow out from the heart. When the Lord wrote the letters, the inspired letters to the seven churches in Asia, we have their letters, each one of them, I know thy works. Each one of them, the Lord is making it clear that church, which is made up of individuals, is made up of people, and he knows their works, and he knows their hearts also. He says, thou hast a name to live, and yet art dead. He knows all about them. He knows all about us here. He knows what truly we are before him. Because here we read, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Well, I want to look at three points this evening. Firstly, he fashioneth our hearts alike in creation. I want to go back where the Lord began first in creation, making man. And then secondly, through the fall and what our hearts are now as fallen creatures under the judgment of God. And then thirdly, in the way of grace, the Lord, a fashioner of the heart. Just to think on fashioning for a start, the word that is here. If we think of the children of Israel going through the wilderness, and God gave the pattern of the tabernacle, and he gave skill and wisdom to Bezalel to look at that pattern and to fashion the tabernacle, fashion the ark according to that pattern given. So with his hands, with his skill, he made all the tabernacle, he made all the ark. He needed skill, he needed wisdom to be able to do that. Now no doubt there's some of you here that are good with your hands. If you get a lump, a pile of wood, you can fashion something out of it. Solemnly, in the word of God, the Lord speaks against his people that they could take wood and they can fashion it into an idol and nail it together and cover it over with gold and make it into an idol and worship it. But we get the idea of fashioning something. It needs skill. If you had perhaps a lump of timber, or maybe a house had blown down, it had fallen down, and you thought, well, what hope is there for this lump of rubble and timber? Who could ever make anything good out of that? But if you knew a person that was a real skilled builder, and you'd seen what they'd done before, you wouldn't be dwelling upon that lump of rubble and timber. You'd think about that person. If anyone can fix it, that person can fix it. They will make something good out of this pile of junk and rubble. And your expectation is not on what is there, but upon the skill of that person. And so that is what is in our text, is pointing to Christ the fashioner. It's the one that is actually doing the work and making something out of, well, in the Lord's case, nothing but what seems to be impossible. And you might look regarding your heart thinking, how can the Lord ever dwell here? How can he ever make anything good here? How can he ever change what is actually here? But the eye is to be looking to the person who is fashioning it. So let's look at him first in the creation. Before sin entered into the world, the Lord fashioned the world itself. And we are told in the beginning part of this psalm, by the verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. So we already have a picture of one that is fashioning and making things out of nothing in creation and making it through the word of his mouth. He is speaking and it is doing. And things are coming together. They're forming together. We think of how it was with Ezekiel having to prophesy to these dry bones. Can these dry bones live? Lord, thou knowest. And he had then to prophesy, to preach, and they started to come together. And then to prophesy again, and breath entered into them. Again, you're getting to bring together what, naturally speaking, wouldn't be any good, or no life in them at all, an impossible case. And as the world was at the beginning, there's darkness over the face of the deep. There was no life, no light, no darkness. There was all darkness. And verse 9, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. It didn't just happen for a little while. It stood fast and the world still continues, and by the word of his power. And verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And when we think then, the Lord formed the earth in that way in 6 days, and he formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Let us make man in our own image. Let us give him dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the whole earth, to have dominion over it. He was given a rational soul, an ability to know God, to commune with God, and to be able to reason, to learn, to put into practice those things he knew. Such difference than the animal kingdom put over all of God's creation. Really a God almost in his own right, in the image of God placed over his creation. And God looked upon all that he had created and made, and he pronounced it good. He pronounced the heart of man good. Man was created with a free will, the same as God has a free will. He's made in the image of God. And we need to remember that. God's creation, God making man and forming man and formed his heart. He was the fashioner. He made heart. And we hear he fashioneth their hearts alike. Well, of course, he made Adam. And then from Adam, Eve. And from them overspread all of the earth. Men's hearts are fashioned the same. As in water, face untereth the face, so the heart of man to man. We're not different species, as it were. We are made in the image of God, created by God, and are made of all nations, of one seed, of one blood, all coming from Adam and all through Noah. And here is the fashioner. Lord pronounced all that he'd done was good. But then came the fall. Now we cannot possibly think the fall took God by surprise. Those things are ordered by God. It's a great mystery to us. Make it very clear, God is not the author of sin. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the Lord has loved his people with an everlasting love. The hymn writer takes it up. He saw me lost and ruined in the fall, and loved me notwithstanding all. The fall in the purposed counsels of God was foreknown and appointed to happen. And yet God, not the author of sin. Man fell. Man was tempted by Satan and tempted over food, tempted over what he didn't really need because he had everything in the garden to eat except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was with the temptation of partaking of that fruit and being as gods, knowing good and evil. He already was in the image of God. He was already over the creation. But rather than believe God, he believed Satan, rebelled against God, and took of that fruit. Now God had said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we need to be clear, you know, if someone was to break the rules of the land, if it was speeding or whatever it was on the road and the rules were broken, in the laws of the land is already stated what the penalty should be. And so when that law is broken, you might say, well, what has come upon that person is because of what they have done. That is, because of what they have done, they are now in prison for a number of years. But it didn't automatically happen. As soon as they committed that offence, they were suddenly whisked off to prison. They were taken to judgment first. The judge looked at the law, he looked at what they had done, and the judge sent them to prison. And with God, he has said already to man, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That is my sentence. We are under the sentence of death. The fall came about because of our sin, our rebellion. But God's judgment upon that, God's sentence upon that, that death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it is not a thing independent of God that we are in the state and condition that we are in. And really with men's actions throughout life as well. We have it in Romans, as they like not to retain God in their knowledge, so he gave them up to unclean affections. And he is joining then a judgment. And you might say, well, look at all of the foolishness going on in the world today and all of the uncleanness. And you say, yes, but the root cause of that, man's temptation is to go, we'll fix that. We'll make everyone think right things, do right things. No, send them back to the true and the living God. That's where the problem is. It's because we have forsaken God that the Lord has given us over and taken away our reason, taken away our common sense, and that's why we are as a nation. We are as a nation that have forsaken the Lord, and so the Lord is giving us over to all of this foolishness that's going on in the schools and in the medical profession, as if we don't know what man and a woman is, and we don't know what the truth is about our bodies. Of course we do, but this is the Lord's judgment upon us because we have forsaken the Lord. We've turned our backs upon him. And we must know then that when we have a God, he fashioneth their hearts alike, that the judgment of the Lord on sin has affected our heart. Thou shalt surely die. Our capability of knowing God is gone. Paul says in Corinthians, by the wisdom of God, it pleased God that man by wisdom should not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we must be clear when we read, he fashioneth their hearts alike. Man's fallen state, it is universal because we are all under the same condemnation. We are all under the sentence of death. In dying thou shalt die. And man himself then is incapable of knowing God. He is in rebellion against God. Hymn 76, be reading that hymn. And I'll look it up and then we get it right. But it speaks of how we are at peace with hell, with God at war. In sin's dark maze they wander far, indulge their lust and still go on as far from sheep as far from God as sheep can run. But in the end it says, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. But that sentence that we are under, when we think of this, here is the fashioner, here is the judge that sentences man. He who formed him first perfectly and pure, he also then in judgment and in righteousness has taken away his reasoning, he's taken away his ability to know God. Much of God's image still remains. We still have that sway over much of the creation. But the relationship with God. Adam was frightened of God when he came into the garden. Adam was banished from God. He could not return that same way. The only way of returning is through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the Lord knows the heart of man. We read when the Lord was on earth, he knew the heart of man. Even those that were friendly to him, we read, he did not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in man. He knew the heart of man and the word of God. This is God's word. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. He has fashioned their hearts alike under sentence and under condemnation, under spiritual death. And we need to realize that. We are before God the judge. And many times in the scriptures he speaks of taking away a man's reason, like Nebuchadnezzar, or taking away his spirit from him, like he did with Saul, the King Saul. Yet God is not the author of sin. These are great mysteries, but we see God's judgment, God's sentence against sin, God dealing with sin, often with the children of Israel. When they walked after idols, the Lord said, I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their sin. And he judged them by actually withdrawing his presence and his blessing from them. And we do need to discern what is the actual sin, what is our sin, the way they're walking, and what is God's judgment on that sin, what he has brought upon us because of that sin. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works, the works that flow out from our hearts. Now it's upon this starting point, fallen, lost, ruined man, that the Lord himself then brings his salvation. The fashioner who fashioned perfectly at the beginning, the fashioner who fashioned in judgment upon man, he has made that way where he can justly and righteously refashion that heart back to its honour and glory. In fact, better than it was in Adam. The same hand, the same way. You know, if we Go back to the illustration of the building that we pictured that was all fallen down and rumbled down, pulled down. If you found the person that originally built that, then you'd have a good hope that that person would be able to restore it. They had the skill to build it in the first place. They knew what it looked like before. And they were the best person to restore it. And it's not just a beginning with God's people. Dear David said, "He restoreth my soul." Yeah. And that's a comfort for God's people along the way as well. Here is God that fashioneth their hearts. I want to look then in the third place of the fashion of the heart in the way of grace. In Ezekiel we have a beautiful passage in chapter 36 where the Lord says that he will deal with the heart, he will deal with his people. And in verse 25 he says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." And the Lord has these words for his people, what he will do for them, the fashioner will do for them. "I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. I'll call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. It is for his honour and glory." That's what it is done for. And he says, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock." Our Lord speaks of it like the new birth, a complete renewal, a new birth, regeneration. You think of how it was with Noah and the flood. Men had sinned, the wickedness was great. So the Lord destroyed the earth, wiped the earth clean. And all was left was Noah and those that were in the ark. And from that overspread the earth as we know it now, and the earth as it is from now, completely renewed and regenerated. That's a picture of what the Lord, the fashioner, is able to do. We don't know how it will be. There's several ways the scripture points off it for the end, that it will not be by water but by fire. The earth that now is shall be destroyed by fire, and yet there shall be a new heavens and a new earth where ill indwelleth righteousness. And yet we are told that in that new Jerusalem there shall no be need of a sun or moon, for the Lord shall be the light of it. But we know the Lord is able to renew, and we're told in Romans the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain under the power of death until now. Really, sin and the Lord's judgment on sin affects everything. The ground is cursed. Everything shows signs of decay, change and decay, and all around I see. The whole creation groans under sin. The animals, the birds, the fishes, they all know death, they all know corruption. They all walk in that way because of man's sin. Man, who was the pinnacle And in the image of God, his fall has affected everything. But then we have God's work and God's work in sinners' hearts and fashioning them anew. Now we read here, fashioneth their hearts alike. Now I want to say several things here. Firstly, the reason why he can fashion any hearts anew is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Without Christ paying the debt, without our Lord suffering in the place of his people, he would not be just, he would not be righteous to just take a sinner and change his heart and make him to be like God again and to be walking with God again. That would be unjust. The price must be paid. The debt must be settled. And that our Lord engaged to do. The first promise in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. And the idea here, the same as when man sinned, that is God's judgment that brings the sin. It is also God's judgment for his people that he should die in their place, that he should suffer instead of them, that it should be the Paschal Lamb instead of the firstborn amongst the children of Israel. It should be the Levites taken instead of the firstborn of the children of Israel. It should be a particular redemption. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the people. The Lord says, my Father gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should do. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And it was a people given to him by the Father. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And he was given them to redeem, given them to fashion their hearts alike, to renew them again, to bring them again into union and fellowship with God, to bring them so that they can be with him forever and ever. And the first step for that is the debt must be paid. Not just deal with the sentence, not just deal with the symptoms in the hearts of his people and just plaster that over and make that right, because that was there because of the judgment of God. No, deal with the very first thing as to why sin entered. We need a second Adam. We need Christ. We need God to come. And he shall then take away the sentence. He shall endure that sentence. He shall suffer death. And he shall rise again from the dead. And then the judgment of God is, for everyone for whom Christ died, suffered, bled, and died, and paid the penalty and paid the debt, he says, I give unto them eternal life. And he can, because he has purchased that life. Those of you may remember Mr. Ransbottom's book, Bible Doctrine Simply Explained. And he has a simple illustration there where a man saw in a market a bird cage with lots of birds in it. And he asked how much those birds were. And he was told he paid the full price for those birds. And he went to the cage and he opened the cage and he let them all go free. And people were surprised what he'd done. He said, I was once in prison. The thing is, he had paid the full price. They were his. He could do with them what he wanted. And he had paid the price with that purpose in view, to let them all go free. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. If the Son shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. The Lord making it so that all for whom he died,
whom he paid that debt. Now he not only has a sovereign right, but in justice he must renew those hearts. He must fashion those hearts aright. Because there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Those that he has suffered for, the debt is removed. Inseparably then to Christ's work upon Calvary is the work of redemption, is the work of changing the heart. And he is pleased to do that through the means of the ministry, through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Go ye forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And when they preach, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. And it changed characters. It changed men into different men. They were the same people, but different. They said with the man that was blind, it is like him. But he said, I am he. The mad Gadarene, they could hardly believe. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But he testified he was the same person. The one that was lame and was brought to walk and leap through the apostles, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the same one that had sat for alms begging. The miracles that the Lord did, how it's shown in the one that was sick of the palsy. The first thing he said to him, thy sins are forgiven. And they all rose up. Who is this that forgiveth sins? But God only. And he said that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of palsy, take up thy bed and walk. And he takes up his bed and walks. And he joins the two together, the power of God, the same power of God that forgives sins, that then changes and is able to heal and cure, and in the context here, change a heart. Fashion that heart aright to make it, instead of a slave to sin, instead of in the ruins of the fall, it now brings forth fruit unto God. Thou only hast wrought all our works in us. The Apostle Paul says, I am by the grace of God. And there's some of us that can go back to when we are in our unregeneracy and the course of our life and how we were going. And if the Lord had not intervened, if the Lord had not called us by grace, then at the age we are now, we would not be what we are now. We certainly would not be in the house of God, nor preaching the word of God. But when the grace of God comes, the free, sovereign kindness of God fashions and changes that heart, what we are in our lives, we are by the grace of God. Because he has fashioned us. Under thy forming hands, O God, give me the frame that thou likest best. He is that wise master builder, and he knows exactly how to use the materials. In fact, supply what is not there in the first place. He is the creator in the beginning. He fashioned their hearts alike. There's another aspect to this. Who is he making his people like again? What is he making them like? Is he not putting his image upon them? When he's refining them, like a refiner looks at the gold, and then till he can see, as he takes off the scum, he can see his own image there. Isn't it that Christ is placing his image there? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. He is bringing a people that so that they imitate Christ, be ye followers of me, says the Apostle Paul, as I also am of a follower of Christ. They shall all be taught of the Lord, great shall be the peace of thy children. The giving of a new nature, a new heart, a teachable spirit, Christ's spirit upon them, and then teaching them, opening their ear, and they begin to hear, and by the washing of water, by the word, they are sanctified and regenerated into Christ's image. Not following a man, not following some extremes in religion or whatever like that, but following Christ. Is that our desire, that we might be made more like Christ, to think more like him, to act like him, to have his image upon us? You know, the disciples, they took knowledge of them. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. And the things that they were doing, they knew that they flowed out from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read here, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He fashioneth their hearts alike to himself. He makes them an image of himself. He restores and he brings them to the image of the second Adam, not the first. They are to be one with him. One with him. And also one with his people. He fashioneth their hearts alike. In the epistles of John, we have this token of passing from death unto life. And that is because we love the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Why? Because he's fashioned their hearts alike. Sometimes you don't have to tell much to another who knows the Lord. Just a little hint that you know the Lord, or you know your own heart by the grace of God. You know what you are by nature. Remember that when the Lord fashions his people, he doesn't take away in that sense their fallen nature, but he puts a new nature in. And that new nature feels the old nature, but the new nature has dominion over the old and not the old over the new. But there will be that conflict. There will be. But grace will triumphant reign. And when he fashions their hearts then alike, you only need a few hints, a few breathings from one who knows the same work, the same spirit, the same work in the heart, the same fallen heart and a heart that is renewed or fashioned again by God, and it knits those souls together. Because he's fashioned them alike. It's the same spirit, it's the same word, it's the same Christ, and he brings those people together as a church, and he brings them at last to glory, that one great church in heaven, no schism, no difference, they all made in the image of Christ, all fashioned by him. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. And may this then be real encouragement to us. Those of you who feel your heart so unclean, those who look within, you think, can ever God dwell here? Your hope is not in fashioning yourself, but in God fashioning you, in the Lord working in your heart and changing your heart. There's a great difference between trying to do it yourself and asking the Lord to do it. Great difference. He has power and authority to do it. He has the ability to do it. We do not. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This work is God's work, not man fashioned his own heart. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. He will have a regard to the work of his own heart hands, because as he fashions that heart, then the fruits flow out, the fruits of the Spirit, to his honour and to his glory. And may this be then an encouraging word. Encourage us to look to Christ, to look to the fashioner, to look to the one who some of us we know he did fashion us in the beginning. And yet we may have backslidden, we may have gone from him, we may have left our first love. And may our desire be, Lord, fashion again. Restore me again. Rebuild these waste places. Solomon's beautiful temple, all destroyed. 70 years in captivity, brought back, and then the temple fashioned again. They thought, well, it didn't look as good. But the Lord said, no, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the first. Yes, it didn't look good outwardly, but Christ was to walk there. And you think of Saul of Tarsus, before conversion, a proud Pharisee. Afterwards, a humble sinner saved by grace. Contemptible in the eyes of some, but Christ was with him and glorified in his body. Our hope is in the Lord. Verse 21, our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in him. Well, may our hope be in him, that he would fashion us to his honour and glory and make us to be what he'd have us to be. End of verse, chapter 30, Psalm 31. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And may there be those of us here that hope in the Lord. Amen.
God willing, the church members will meet for prayer on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Mr. Graham Cottingham will preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting for the nation on Monday evening. Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 13:13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.